It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello! Hello! Hello!
Hello!
Boopity bump for the book.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Green rings, french fries.
Whoa! Whoa,
man, he's gonna cruise.
Yeah.
Smoke them up, boys.
I'm the friend of the Pope.
How do you like that?
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Count it.
Good morning, Boston. It's your favorite feathered friend, DJ Wallach, a.k.a. the Birdman, bringing you the latest and greatest RB hits to keep your wings flapping and your toes tapping. Now listen up, folks, because we've got a special occasion to celebrate this month. Can you guess what it is? That's right, it's National Donut Day. So grab your sweet tooth, head on down to the local pastry shop, and get ready to indulge in some glazed, sprinkled, and jelly-filled delights. And don't forget to tune into my show today, where we'll be serving up a platter of sugary sweet jams to keep the party going. So keep it locked to this station, and let's get this sugar rush started.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Treacher and Rich radio program, and believe it or not, we're in the Town Fair Tire studio. You can watch us on Twitch and twitch.tv. That was a AI. That was not John Wallach.
Believe it or not, and believe it or not, that actually wasn't a human pretending to be John Wallach. Listening to your finest RB station. If you are going, because what that was there are going to be new radio stations that are completely controlled by AI. And what I mean by that is that there's new, like there's a whole new company that's out there, actually several of them, that are taking the voices of real DJs. And what they do is they basically record about maybe 6-7 hours of them just talking. And from that 6 to 7 hours of the DJ just speaking, you are able to basically plug in whatever you want, and it sounds like that DJ is saying it. So you won't even need to put a script into the computer. If you want there to be what sounds like a live and local DJ, you just got to have plugged into him what the weather is, what the song is, and they find all that information online, and basically the whole thing runs itself. So I was first going, oh, boy, shaking the boots, let's get in the industry. And then I heard some of the samples that were out there, and it just sounds as if, like, their version of a DJ is like Wolfman Jack. It's like, we're playing the hottest stacks, wax, the tracks, the hits, and keep you going.
How do we describe a donut without saying donut? Just that sugary little spiral of fun.
right. Flapping you over. And so what I did was, on the website, it says, find out what your station would sound like. We'll send you a free sample. So you just had to fill out like 3 or 4 different things, almost like Mad Libs, and they said, what's the name of your DJ? And I put John Wallach. Yeah. And they said, you know, does he have a nickname? And I put the Birdman, and like in Boston. And that's what they sent me back, which, by the way, doesn't sound much better than when you remember, like, about 15 years ago when there was that program that would read your email.
Yeah.
It was like a mailbag.
It sounds like a Casio SK1 from, like, even further. But, like, I mean, it sounds like a robot. It doesn't sound human.
And if you're going to, and also one of the things it asks is, what format would your station be? Well, if it's John, it's, of course, sweet, sexy R&B. If you're going to send out a sample, don't
music
say
to home by
your RB station. Like, get it right. It's RNB. You're trying to sell your product. But that's what we ended up getting back. And to be quite honest, John, you know, I'd be a little intimidated if I were you.
Well, I mean, it was better than John could do.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking the next time that John goes and calls the Celtics and big times us, we just call our AI Wallach over here and have him fill it.
Have him do the updates?
Sure. Just have him listen.
What if it meant Brian Robb and fell in love?
I mean, maybe that was Brian Robb.
What if Brian Robb and the AI met and they just fell in love and it was the first AI human marriage? He's like, Jason Tatum is in the corner. What's that? Jason Tatum is in the corner. Hey, I like that. You got to go up like this. It goes just
with the handle. Drops back to Portis. He's open again. Three again. Make again.
It's just everywhere, Sean. Three-point shooters everywhere on the pick and pop. Yeah, you can't be slow recovering out there or else you're going to be in trouble. The sloppy pass by Jeff Teague. Portis read it, picked it off. Easy two.
It's the Robbot 2.0.
I did a couple of games with Brian Robb.
Of course you did.
During the pandemic.
How funny is it that Brian Robb produces the basketball show sometimes on Saturdays, and he was out there doing color commentary during a game?
Mm-hmm.
Good for Brian Robb.
He's become a good writer. I mean, he's been a good writer. His writing's fantastic.
He's a good writer. It's just a different, you know, he's connected to the team. It's just a totally different skill set. Calling a game.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, listen, when many people start radio, sometimes there's one of those uncomfortable sit downs that you have with the program director, an air check thing where they say, maybe you work on your intonation, which I think many people have had before. It's like when you read, you know, don't read, you know, in like a one tone, you know, kind of color it and, you know, make it your own. Find your space.
Brian, remove your pants. Why should I remove my pants?
When are we allowed outside again, by the way? When does this, like, burning sky go away?
See, somehow this has eluded me. The only place I'm hearing about it is here.
Oh, it's... No, no.
Did you see the pictures of Yankee Stadium in New York yesterday?
Yeah, but I just saw them this morning. So,
See, yesterday, I went outside, and the sky was like a dark... It was like an orange. And it looked like the sun was having a hard time... like pushing through this haze that was out there.
No, the pictures of people in Manhattan yesterday, not just Yankee Stadium, it was like futuristic. I saw a split screen online of a screenshot from Blade Runner in downtown Manhattan, and it looked almost the same.
So this is, okay, so these are fires that are happening in Quebec, am I right?
Okay.
Wildfires. And there's something weird about the way that the wind is, usually it goes out into the ocean, but for some reason it's blowing south. And all I know is that yesterday afternoon, like all over the news, we were told that it's like it's hazardous. The air
is unhealthy, it's
unhealthy, and that you're not supposed to spend more time than you absolutely need to outdoors. And I'm like, just how bad is it? Like,
what's it gonna do? And I'm not being cavalier here or trying to be cool. I've screwed up before. I've underestimated things before. But in all honesty, what's this going to do?
It did feel, I know this sounds strange, but when I was walking my dog, by the time I was done, like my eyes felt drier.
I could imagine if it's smoky, yeah.
If you are someone that has respiratory problems, I was told this could be bad for you. But a normal human being, probably not a big deal, other than what Rich was talking about.
I didn't notice anything. I had the dog out. Yesterday, I didn't notice a thing.
It's weird because it's one of those deals where at the beginning of the day, I didn't really see much of it, but it was right around like 5 or 6 o'clock last night was when like the sky truly looked orange. As a matter of fact, there is a there's a camera that I saw a bunch of people like linking to yesterday, and it's from the Blue Hills. And you know, usually from the Blue Hills, you can see downtown. Everything. Right. I mean, you couldn't see anywhere near that. It was absolutely blocked up. But it's weird. It's not just blocked up, but it's like amber. It's like a really awful. It's like one of those like Blade Runner movies.
Yeah, I was saying it's the picture of Manhattan and a screenshot from Blade Runner.
I mean, this is what I'm reading right now. It says they're talking about a guy from Mass General Hospital, and he goes, He suggested everyone take the following steps. Stay indoors with windows and doors closed. If you have central air conditioning, run it and change the filter immediately.
Sure, yep.
And if possible, upgrade to a more efficient filter.
Yep.
Just right now.
Yeah, just do it right now.
Take a break from outdoor exercise.
I did.
And wear a high efficiency mask like an N95 mask. So now we got to wear masks outside.
That's right, you do.
It's the pandemic, but worse.
Right, but opposite.
That's right, you do. Everyone's going to die. There's the wildfires in Canada.
I was going to ride my bike yesterday, and then when I found out I wasn't supposed to, I was like, thank you. I sat down and ate more veggie straws.
That's right, more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, please.
Just, I'll eat my straws.
They break easily in the hummus.
Zesty ranch flavor.
Just had a fat day.
Yeah.
Just sat there and didn't do anything.
I know my veggie straws. Oh, hell yeah.
They tell you, yeah. I mean, they said, do not go outside. The alternative is death. If you go outside, it's very smoky.
That's the wear a mask thing is pretty impressive that they're just saying, yeah, you know what, wear, and it's not just, it's an N95 outside.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, maybe it was psychosomatic, but when I was walking my dog near the end of it, my eyes did feel a little dry.
No, but that makes sense. If it's smoky, your eyes are going to feel dry. Yeah, they'll dry out. But I would venture for a healthy young man, that's about as bad as it's going to get. I don't think you're going to keel over because you know, there was a fire, you know, 1,000 miles away. But it is funny how these things miss me. I just, I only hear about it here. But I don't watch the local news unless it's about me.
But New York was even worse. You're right. Those pictures that came out yesterday of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, at least it looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was creepy.
Yeah.
It truly did look like Blade Runner. It looked like, yep, in the movie Blade Runner, where, yep, it's like everything's orange in the sky. That's what it looked like.
Was it raining the whole time and make it unwatchable? Like the original Blade Runner?
You know, to your point, Fred, Blade Runner, I know, is a good movie. What I've seen of it's very good. I can't finish it because I always fall asleep. And it's not because it's a bad movie. It's just it's almost like Saturday afternoon golf. It's got that same like video and audio melatonin that just shoots into your body, the first Blade Runner. Now, the second Blade Runner absolutely rules.
See, I've never seen that one. I've seen the first one end to end, and I haven't seen it. Now, take into account, I haven't seen it for a while.
Yeah.
But I saw it in the theater, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. Is it
Daryl
Hannah?
Boy, that came out about 1982.
Daryl Hannah, who's the female robot that goes crazy at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
Scared the living crap out of me.
Yep. And Harrison Ford, obviously. And Rutger Hauer.
For his wife, 1982. Screeching Blade Runner. That movie might have come out in 1982.
It probably
is. That right?
And you remember being in the theater?
I was in the theater for that one, yep.
The second one is like almost 3 hours long. But it's excellent. Okay. It really, it's one of those that
Ryan Gosling
came and went. Yeah, and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And it's that guy who did Dune, that Denis Villeneuve. I think he also did Sicario, which is a great movie. So he's a good director.
Those are two books that my dad had, Blade Runner and Dune, because they sold them at the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he even had the book Dianetics.
Ah, the old L. Ron Hubbard Scientology book.
My boy, H. Rob. He had the Dianetics because he sold it at the airport. Used to be a man could find religion at the airport.
Remind me what is Dianetics the story of the alien?
Mm-hmm.
It's the actual alien part of it. It's not their, it's not like their Bible. It's just.
It's everything. I believe Dianetics tells the story of like the flue flams that live in the hoobie-boo.
The thetans and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which,
yes,
I thought you didn't learn about until later on, but I guess that I was wrong about that.
I think maybe that John Travolta movie is based on Dianetics.
Oh, no. That's Battlefield Earth, which is also an L. Ron Hubbard.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I told you the story about, we were interviewing John Travolta the day after we saw that movie, and we had to see it for a press screening, and he was in town. And the next morning, I'll give the host of the show all the credit in the world, because when the first thing John Travolta goes, so what'd you think of the movie? And my host said, you know what, John, it's a movie that people are going to be talking about for years to come. And he goes, oh, that's great. Uh-huh. And, you know, and they got out of it after that. Didn't have to talk about that stupid movie. Anyway, that was a bad, bad movie. Bad movie.
The people, the five people will be dining together for years. If my dad bought Dianetics, it had to have had a story to it. It couldn't have just been some like bobbly thing.
Well, it was also on TV all the time. Remember, there were like infomercials for Dianetics before people even really knew what Scientology was. It had like a volcano on the cover or something, like a big explosion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, maybe that meeting where they yelled at all the players and said, you need to start playing well. Maybe that actually worked. And it looks like golf sold their soul for a whole lot of cash.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but we will be back in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Now back to more Toucher and Rich, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? All right, we're at Toucher and Rich. What happened last night is delivered by Granite City's Electric. GCE Night Train Electrical Contractors. Order your materials for overnight delivery from the Granite City Electric GCE Night Train, and you won't have to worry about what happened last night. The materials are waiting for you at the job site by 6 a.m. Go to GCENightTrain.com.
Hey, maybe that rah-rah team meeting actually works.
That's in there for strike three. Sits him down 97 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you knew this, but the Red Sox have not been that good lately. As a matter of fact, they had lost 16 of their last 25. Well, that's all over now, baby, because the Sox just kicked the door down and beat the Guardians 5-4 in their house. I have to be honest.
That's not their house. It's our house. But we don't want it because it's in Cleveland.
Very good. Nice callback to Rick Campbell and his partner. I have to be honest. Like, I was thinking about when I was watching this game yesterday, just how passionate Carton and Evan Roberts were when I was in New York about a regular season Mets game.
It used to be like that here.
And they were screaming about it. And I just remember going, why did... No one cares about regular season baseball.
10, 15 years ago, right before this show got started, it used to be like that here.
But I don't think I would have. You know what I mean? I bet that there were like, you know, sports talky talk talks that were just, you know, would make a big deal out of every single regular season game, even when they were like at their, you know, even when the idiots were around and all that.
No, but that was it. 03, 04, daily people would bitch and moan about Francona and his bullpen management, and I can't believe he didn't sacrifice there, and how can we lose 2 out of 3 to that team?
I got a feeling if Fred and I were doing radio then, you couldn't have gotten us to get riled up like that.
Because I remember before we were doing sports talk, my wife at the time worked in the city, and I dropped her off, and the only time I listened to sports talk radio in the morning, they were bitching about like specifics from the evenings before a game.
Yep.
And I was thinking like, whoa, this is boring.
Right. And it wasn't
who are you talking to?
And it wasn't even some like massive like screw up of judgment or a play that's going to be on TV over and over again.
It's just like little complaints about some. Yeah,
you can't strike out with runners in scoring position type of stuff. That's what it was like.
I mean, that was everything I hated about sports talk. Now, it was funny when Evan Roberts and Carton were doing it because it just seemed so foreign to me that they were so fired up about a regular season Mets game.
Carton doesn't watch the games, which is part of the value of it. Is that Evan Roberts has got 8 TVs going and Carden couldn't be bothered to watch any of them. So, but Evan Roberts did not like the pen he received because it could not write in the scorebook well enough.
Ah, like Dan Roach at the game. Well, seriously, though, any win is welcome right now. As we know, James Paxton, pretty damn good yesterday. 7 innings, he kept the Red Sox in the game. The offense waited until the 8th inning, but they did show up.
Now Pablo Reyes. 2-0, and that's going to be blooped toward right center. That's going to drop down for a base hit. Casas is in to score. The throw home. They're going to hold Kike. The Red Sox add another one. It's 4-2.
The pop gun attack. It was the best. No big hits. I think the middle of the order, when it just so happens that the middle of the order led off the inning. So Turner leads off with the double, and then you have walk, single, sack fly. That's how you get all the runs.
Right, yeah, baby, small ball. That's
right. Without the speed. Yes.
Yeah, you got to get that small ball.
They scored four. They did. Good. And then they had just enough to hang on for the win. So good for them.
Yeah. Well, it's a 4-run inning. The road trip starts by stopping a losing skid against a pretty good pitcher, too. So not bad. Here is Alex Cora afterwards.
We did an outstanding job going the other way, starting with JT. We took our walks, the drive by Tristan. You know, at one point, yes, we hit a home run straight center. You know, it's going to go out. But it was quality of bat after quality of bat. Pablo going the other way, and everybody contributed. It was a good one.
I wonder if Terry Francona still punches Dan Roach when he sees him.
Oh, of course.
I've seen it.
Yes, he still does.
Even today.
Yep.
Because he's got to punch kind of hard, as you know. You've joked about he's got the Iron Sheik body.
Yeah, he's got a pot belly with muscles in it. Yeah.
Don Orsillo used to get the punch you in the chest type of thing.
Don Orsillo got hit hard.
No, yeah, every day, and that was back when I was covering the team 20 years ago. Back when I was covering the team every day, Don Orsillo would wait outside the manager's office. We'd all meet with Tito, and then Tito would go out. He'd see Don and take a step forward and absolutely blast him in the chest every day.
Well, you know who's punching him in the chest now?
Let's go, Goose.
And of course, that guy down in San Diego. You got to meet his posse out in the parking lot. I'm sure Don Tangelo isn't very happy about that.
Dontourage.
Well, no. It's hashtag Don Tangelo. Okay. If you follow Don Orsillo on Twitter, it's fantastic because
he's so cool.
Half the time, it's him just like taking pictures of him holding pasta that he cooked, and it goes, "This looks pretty good to me." Hashtag Don Tangelo. He could be Paul Stanley. Him and Paul Stanley truly have the same Twitter account.
We do, except we there's some places where our interests vary. Like, you know, he is uncomfortable in small spaces.
Yeah, which you are not. That is true. So now the Red Sox are 1 game over .500. The series continues tonight. The first pitch is at 7:10. Mm. And I will ask you a very sports talky question, John.
Yes.
What are they to do with the positioning of their players once, what's his name's coming up?
Adam Duvall.
Once Adam Duvall's back.
Adam Duvall is going to go right back to where he started. He's going to be a center fielder, which he shouldn't be.
And so Kike Hernandez goes back to shortstop?
That's where he was last night.
Worked and out you know so what? Well
first hitter of the 9th inning. Kenley Jansen working with a 1-run lead. Guy hits a ball back up the middle to Kike. Kike fields it, fumbles it. It rolls up his arm, and then he guns it to first and gets the guy by like an eighth of a step. We were that close to yet another error by Kike Hernandez, who cannot play the position, but he's your shortstop. That's him.
I saw
right there.
I think I saw one Red Sox writer, and I don't remember which one it was. They said, "Listen, I know it's the middle of the season, and games don't mean much, but maybe this win was significant."
Yeah, they're right in there. That division.
especially in the AL East. That division's just fit to be had.
It's significant in that they would snap the three-game losing streak. Yeah,
they are only 12 games out of first.
Are they still in last place?
Yes. Yes. Okay. By about three games, yeah. I think.
Significant, right.
But I mean, listen.
What is it about Boston writers who cover this team that wet themselves because, over the smallest thing?
Because they need anything right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, because you throw yourself out.
Got a base hit yesterday. Yeah.
If you know no one's reading you starting in June, you can't live your life like that.
Have you ever been starving and thirsty in the middle of the Sahara? And you're just looking for anything, any kind of. Yesterday was the tiniest droplet of water.
But it's been that way since the beginning. That infielder, the guy's name is Yu Chang, was great in the World Baseball Classic, and he can't hit 200 here. And he had like a base hit right before he got hurt and went on the injured list. Oh, he's only 3 for his last 20 now. What is it about these writers, man?
I don't blame them. By the way, think of all of the grueling beats to be on, like a baseball beat where. Where there's almost no break and you're traveling and it's just like when you're basketball, you have days off. Football, obviously, you have a week off, you know, between games.
Well, football's easy. You just have to go to a bunch of practices. Yeah, baseball is just, I don't know how they're not all like incredible alcoholics. Because, I mean, you get to the park at like 3:30, you're out of there by, you know, 11, 10, 12.
Yep. And there's no sport, too, where the regular season games mean less just by sheer volume of that is played than baseball. So you're constantly trying to think of storylines that you haven't covered before.
Or
if it's a bad team, it's like, you know, you've already written that this is a bad team article. And, you know, what do you do then?
And you're in Cleveland for 3 days in June, like just sitting in Cleveland.
Cleveland is a...
Is Cleveland awful? I don't know.
I know, but I would take it Peter Abraham doesn't like have people in Cleveland. I'm just saying that, or fine, then Kansas City in the middle of July.
Sure,
It's just...
Cleveland is a 48-hour city. You spend about 48 hours there, and then you've seen enough.
And then John slayed enough babes where he can't even like walk down the street.
That's right.
Without causing some problems.
Oh, his
excess. Hey, there's a casino right downtown. Go gamble.
You know what? Not all casinos are created equal.
It's called Jack's, J-A-C-K, right downtown.
There's some casinos you go into in like cities where, you know, not they all can't be the, you know, the Encore, which is very nice. They all can't be the one in New Orleans, the Harrah's, which is nice.
Yep.
Sometimes you get one that just feels like you're in Biloxi.
Yeah, that
like
would be
St. Louis
Casino Queen, yeah, home of the loosest slots.
Okay, then you know what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's the one in Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay, right? Like you're in Biloxi. Yeah. We're just it's like you went not even to the downtown Las Vegas casino area. You went in between. Like downtown and where the regular nice casinos are.
No, the location is really good.
You're
it's
where
like a
people
block from the ballpark.
You're next to the pawn shops and where like the steerage gets married. That's the casinos that I'm talking about.
We're maybe a half a step.
No,
up
you,
from there,
you want to be you want to be gambling on the mighty Mississippi. That's when you go to St. Louis. The gambling's legal on the Mississippi, so you get on the Casino Queen.
Yeah, I've done Biloxi,
home of the loosest slots.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that the literal theme song you're just singing?
Which just makes you think Home of the Loosest Slots.
Of course.
That's the intention.
Right.
Are the casinos on a boat?
Yes.
That's got
a big riverboat.
Yeah.
And they're docked permanently. And you just go in there and you're like, I'm damn Huckleberry Finn.
Meet
my friend.
There's no must mold or water damage that you got to huff in while you're playing poker.
No, they clean it all the time, too. Constantly cleaned. You get in there, you go, this is nice. Especially on a Saturday where every hillbilly from southern Illinois comes in and has something to say.
Oh, we used to have to pass through Biloxi sometimes when our band would travel past that, and we would stop in the casinos sometimes to get something to eat. And the most depressing thing were people who would go there for like bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Hell yeah.
I'd be like, this is not, that marriage is not going to last.
The hookers there got to be top rate.
It's just like, he gets. Now, don't get me wrong. In Louisiana, a lot of the people there are accidentally good looking. Like, if you're like in your like 20s, believe it or not, you can be accidentally hot when you're from Louisiana. It's just kind of, believe it or not, it's like part of the genetics. Now, something happens once you hit 30 there. I think he just kind of stopped taking care of number one.
Yeah, meth takes its toll. Plus, there's the weeding out of, like, you know, half the population gets murdered, so they have to figure out who's going to survive. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Let's get to the which might be one of the more significant moments in professional golf history happened yesterday, and still nobody knows what the hell this all means.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Now, did somebody say something about the man's mama?
More of Toucher and Rich.
If he talked faster, he'd be Boomhauer from King of the Hill.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Touch and Rich, be listening at 6:55 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Massachusetts It's for Lovers Festival, featuring Rise Against, Alkaline Trio, and many more at the Xfinity Center, September 17th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets now on sale through all Ticketmaster outlets. That's coming up at 6:55. We have a ton of great tickets to give away this morning, including one I'm very excited about at 7:55 as well, which obviously get to. So here's PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan a year ago.
I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there are significant implications. And as it relates to the families of 9/11, I have two families that are close to me that lost loved ones. And so my heart goes out to them. And I would ask, you know, any player that has left or any player that would ever consider leaving, have you ever had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour?
Okay, well, here's the same PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, just yesterday.
We've recognized that together we can have a far greater impact on this game than we can working apart. And I give Yasser great credit for coming to the table, coming to the discussions with an open heart and an open mind. We did the same, and the game of golf is better for what we've done here today.
Okay, well, what changed? Cash, and most likely an enormous amount of it. In one of the most seismic moves in golf history, the PGA Tour and LIV Golf announced yesterday morning that they would combine operations to create an as-yet unnamed new worldwide golf entity. All the lawsuits between the two now thrown out the window. Phil Mickelson and his man boobs will soon be welcome to join the PGA Tour again, as will all of the LIV Golf defectors. And now, the control of the new league is mostly in the hands of Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, an entity accused of trying to sports wash its horrible track record of human rights violations. What a cluster F. Players who stood by and defended the PGA are this morning still shocked at what happened. Tons of tweets were out there. Mackenzie Hughes tweeted, "Nothing like finding out through Twitter that we're merging with the tour that we said we'd never do that with." As a matter of fact, there was almost nobody on either tour that had any idea that any of this was happening. As a matter of fact, I think even Greg Norman, who's like one of the head guys over at LIV Golf.
Well, there was a reason
he was
that.
Shocked as well.
Norman is out. LIV wanted nothing to do with Norman after a year. They figured that they found out that was a mistake. And the reason they kept everyone in the dark is they didn't want the blowback.
So here's what I'm guessing happened. And we'll have Jay Busby from Yahoo on with us at 8:20. And he'll get into the details of this. He's been covering the story ever since it broke. But LIV Golf was obviously hanging by a thread. No one was watching. It wasn't selling tickets. As a matter of fact, Awful Announcing did actually a pretty funny thing where LIV Golf, I think, had to actually buy television time on, I think it was the CW networks.
That's correct.
And what they did was there was a tournament that went into extra, like it went long, and they played what LIV Golf got cut off for in each of the markets. And one was like an infomercial for like a tooth whitening, like toothpaste.
Yep.
And then there was another one that was all like infomercials that ended up getting.
Sorry, sir, your window is closed.
But the thing is about LIV, though, is despite them not doing well as far as being a success, they have unlimited amounts of money. When I say unlimited amounts of money, that fund, that Saudi Arabia fund, is hundreds of billions of dollars of cash.
600 billion.
Yeah, 600. That's
$600 billion.
Which is tough to even conceive that amount of money.
By the Yankees.
So in the end, the Saudi Public Investment Fund just said, screw it, and threw loads of money at the PGA and essentially bought it. Does that sound right? Am I reading the room correctly?
The head of that fund, the $600 billion fund, is the new chairman of this new entity. So that's exactly what just happened.
So I hear a lot of people saying, you know, what if you were someone like Tiger Woods, who I guess reportedly turned down almost $1 billion?
$800 million.
They're like, wow, those guys got to feel bad. And to that I say there's probably a few of them that are sitting there and they're, you know, obviously upset that they couldn't make more money. But there's also that whole part of, you know what? I truly believed what I said. I think this is awful. I think this is something that morally they are tied with, you know, the killing of, I mean, there's a million different things.
Or I was loyal to the PGA. I believed in playing the events. It's what I wanted to do when I was growing up. I had already, you know, aside from the majors, just the being on the PGA tour was always a dream. You know, it's not like I was going to go pour on it. All those things. One player was quoted as saying, and I don't have it directly, but he's like, I guess, you know, always take the money.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're offered a lot of money, just take it because ultimately it's not going to matter.
Think if you're Rory McIlroy, how much water did that guy carry over the last 3 years, or the last year?
I would be pissed.
Oh, man. McIlroy was like the poster boy for the PGA. People were cheering him, you know, as he walked down fairways at random events because he was great for the purity of golf.
Now, Sean, you had a tweet that I thought was good, so I'll just let you say it. Golf is, you know, takes itself as being very precious.
Yes, the sport of golf, those in charge of golf have always been of the mind that their game has been pure. You know, it transcends sport. You remember the legend of Bagger Vance? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an infomercial for the game of golf. You lose yourself in it. It's pure. It's high society. It's bigger than the sport itself. What a bunch of crap. It's just the same as any other sport trying to make as much money as they can. This is terrible. Now, if you are a golf fan and you go out to tournaments, nothing will have changed. PGA Tour, Masters, U.S. Open, whatever. The game itself won't change. You know, maybe a few trampolines and gymnasts bouncing on it.
I mean, are you going to have a Diplo playing at the 7th green? This is not your dad's golf tournament, all right?
I mean, my friends in Crazy Town have gotten a call.
I mean...
Come, my lady. LIV Golf.
Are you going to have the ghost of Seve Ballesteros throwing, like, you know, sweet Bud Lights into the crowd?
Seve Ballesteros.
That's a good pull for you. I'm impressed.
Well, why not?
That's really impressive by you.
You know?
He was a Spanish king.
He was, absolutely. But, this is going to be... I do wonder if this will spur the building of a new tour. Like, one that is not backed by this type of money.
Oh, man.
No. Because the player, ultimately, the golfers want to make money. And I think those in charge understand that. And after this huge hypocritical blowback passes, you know, again, golf will go on just as it always has. You know, the game hasn't changed. The fan experience won't change, again, apart from the occasional DJ. But, ladies and gentlemen, Redfoo.
That was the very good pull. That was one of the most depressing things. Like when you saw the videos of the first couple of LIV tournaments, it was like, "Hey man, you got a DJ on the and like, woo, let's get people cheering." And it's like, yeah, there was like 14 people there.
You hit shuffle bot, you get a free car.
I'll tell you this,
boy, man, you know a lot about LMFAO, my friend.
I'm playing in a shuffle bot. I'm playing in a tournament today at my club, and if they don't let the ladies dress every bit as sexy as they've been dressing all year long, then I'm going to have a coup of my own.
That was the thing, too, is that there was these videos of these girls coming out with signs on, like, dude's shoulders, and, like, they had, like, the CO2 cannons, the, you know, that shoot out the smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd be walking out, there'd be, like, 14 people watching it.
I know.
Like, we had Tara Sullivan on talking about the tournament, the LIV golf tournament was here.
In North Korea.
At the International out in Baltimore.
And it was hysterical, her, like, talking about just how weird the whole thing was. And you know what? It didn't matter to them, because ultimately this was the goal, wasn't it? It was to try to pull as many stars off of the PGA Tour to where the PGA said, mercy, we need those guys to be somewhat successful. And look what happened. They said mercy. They ended up, nobody knows how much they ended up paying it. Nobody even knows what this is going to look like.
I don't know if they said mercy or if they just were like, wow, this is out here where the, you know, our, this is how much you think we're worth? Okay.
There is a school of thought that said these two entities entered into this because with all the lawsuits and the counter lawsuits, the discovery portion of the court period would be embarrassing for both sides.
Yeah, whereas the
This all the litigation is now gone. They don't have to worry about that. Now they have to worry about the bad PR.
One side said, we have pulled every embarrassing thing from your files that we could possibly find in the dark web, and they will be released. Sell us your league.
Here's $200 billion.
I wonder how much it sold for.
I don't know. But you're right. The Saudis have more money than you can possibly think of.
Yeah, it's really, when you look at how much it is, it's unbelievable how much cash.
And make no mistake about it, they're in charge.
So are other leagues in danger? Like, I mean, what's next? If you got golf, I mean, soccer, American soccer leagues, I'm sure that's probably right for the picking.
European soccer, Rich.
Well, even I'm talking here in America. Like, is the NFL in danger?
Well, $600 billion, you can buy every sports franchise in this country in all four majors.
Yep. And you can pay everybody more than they're getting paid now.
Yep. If you want to.
I'm telling you, it doesn't end here, because this is something, and you talked about soccer. They've already started doing that over in Europe.
Begun to steal major players.
So, it can't stop here, especially when you take a look at, because there's going to be a lot of heads of these leagues who are going to be offered a ton of money. And what they're going to do is they're going to take a look at how long it takes for people to just accept that this is the way that it is. They're going to take a look and see there's outrage right now. How's the outrage in 6 months? How's the outrage in a year? And if the PGA or this new league can weather that storm PR-wise, then you're not telling me that if somebody came to the NBA or the NHL and said, here is 2 to 3 times the amount that you're all worth,
we'll give
I'm
you
giving it to
$5
you.
$5 billion for each franchise.
Well, some of them are worth more than $5
billion. Well, I mean, whatever. You offered Jerry Jones, okay, here's $12 billion.
I'll give you twice the value of your franchise.
I'll give you $12 billion for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a drop in the bucket for them.
I'm telling you, it's why stop at golf?
Yeah.
It's going to take all of them taking a look at how this all turns out. But it is kind of wild seeing the reaction of everyone, because nobody knew. Like, none of the players had any idea. And that's obviously going to make for some awkward moments on the tee box when you got, you know, Phil Mickelson and Rory McIlroy, you know, playing next to each other. On top of that, we're not going to see what this league is like until next year, right? LIV is going to finish the way that it is.
Right.
PGA is going to finish the way that it is, where the LIV guys can play in the majors. And then We don't even know what the name of the league is now. So the PGA name, I'm sure, is most likely gone. I don't think they're going to keep that.
As I understand it, and again, we'll have Jay Busby on it in the 8 o'clock hour to describe all of this. As I understand it, all three entities, don't forget the DP World Tour out in Europe, which is part of this.
Mm-hmm.
All three. I knew you were going to do that.
Yes.
They all keep
my
their
friend. Come close.
Someone's saying that they've already tried to buy Formula One, which, you know, it's not a big four, but Formula One anywhere else in the world is massive.
Mm-hmm. Remember they were going to run a Formula One race in South Boston?
That would have been the best thing ever. That would have been unbelievable.
I would have done that. I would have gone.
I saw the plans for that, and yeah. I'm like, there's no way they can do this.
They did it in Detroit.
They're doing it in Vegas. They're doing it in Vegas. Or they did it in Vegas.
Straight away. That's part of the problem.
Well, that's the thing is, in Detroit, you can do it. Yeah. You can't do it here.
Not here.
But I saw the plans, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, this is so inconceivably, it's so poorly thought out.
Cars can get up to 5 miles an hour.
I know. That I can't wait to watch this. It was going to be such a cluster. But
you might as well be on a tricycle.
The longest F1 race in history in regards to time.
Yeah. These cars can go
4 hours.
These cars can legitimately go 280.
Yeah.
And they're going to, and you're topping off at 40.
Because there's a hairpin turn.
Yeah, exactly. You're in the financial district getting lost.
The GPS doesn't work.
No.
Here's the finish line.
Building's too tall.
It is going to be funny when you have like the NFL and there's going to be a lot of these people who are like, you stand up for the flag or you're going to go to the locker room all of a sudden saying, I'll take your cash, Saudi, sir.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's coming. It's coming. Why stop at golf? It's coming.
Let's not go crazy. The NFL is a lot of money. Wait, I don't have the sponsor.
Oh, here, I'm sure it is right here.
All right. The NFL is...
and you have this.
That would take a little bit of a... Thank you. Yeah. That would take a little bit of the... a little bit of the chunk of the $600 billion. If you buy the NFL, that's pretty much what you own.
Yeah, but I'm thinking hockey's not a problem.
No.
I think if they really wanted to buy the NHL, it wouldn't take much.
Hockey, they could buy it over lunch.
All right. Yeah. The Toucher and Rich Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And let me tell you this. Call number 10 right now to the Harbor One Bank contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to the Massachusetts for Lovers Festival featuring Rise Against, Alkaline Trio, and many more. Xfinity Center, September 17th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets out now on sale throughout all Ticketmaster outlets. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect. Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.